FTN Fast Break Podcast, Monday, December 9th, 2024, episode 28. What is going on, everybody? Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawhisenberg, DFS. No Mike Randall today. That means Adam Pfeiffer is filling in, decked out in the Ken Griffey Mariners gear. Adam, how was your weekend?
I don't want to talk about it.
Is it maybe because my Pittsburgh Steelers are now tied at 10-3 with your Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, Sunday was not great because I'm sweating that Bills game. They obviously end up losing, and then I'm tracking the Cavs game, and they once again lose in Miami because they don't win in Miami ever. So, and Mobley gets hurt. So, but no, it was a good weekend. Obviously, it's, you know, the sports stuff doesn't dictate my entire mood all the time.
Sure. Just most of it, right?
Just like 75 to 85% of it.
When Mobley's with ankle injury, right, for Evan Mobley?
Yeah, he said after the game it was like a really it wasn't anything serious, and I think the Cavs actually have a little bit of rest coming up on their schedule. So
a lot of the league does, man. It is a quiet week schedule wise. Just one game tonight here on Monday, but then we've got the NBA Cup quarterfinals Tuesday and Wednesday night, and just three games on Thursday. So let's. Let's preview the NBA Cup quarterfinals here. Like, right, we've got the matchups on Tuesday, tipping us off in Milwaukee. The Bucks will host the Magic. The Bucks, Adam, are 8-point home favorites now. By far the lowest total of these four quarterfinal games, 213.5. But that Bucks by 8, it's hard to argue against it because Franz Wagner, torn oblique, reevaluated in 4 weeks and out indefinitely. So, like, we have given the Magic so much praise over the last couple of weeks for not just staying afloat, but like maintaining a top three position in the Eastern Conference without Paolo Banchero. I think they're going to come back down to earth at least somewhat now without both of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, credit. I mean, they were without Kevin Durant, but they beat Phoenix the other day. I think it was yesterday or the other day without Paolo, obviously, and now Franz. But it's just like, going into the season, we already had question marks about this team's offensive efficiency, even with Paolo. And as good as Franz has been, again, we'll see, but like before the injury was somebody that probably should start the All-Star game for the East. But having said that, his efficiency still wasn't great. And now you're relying on, I think the last game I saw, Jalen Suggs, who had somebody you don't want to be the catalyst for your offense. Mm-hmm. Had a 31% usage rate. Goga Batazde was at like 26%. Like, good players, really good role players. But if these are the guys that you're counting on to get baskets and you're running sets for, you're probably going to have some really tough games. I will say, though, like, Jamal Mosley, I think, is already in that, like, top five probably for Coach of the Year. If they can, once again, we kind of use this phrase a lot with Orlando and just kind of stay afloat without both of these guys, A, give him the award.
Yeah.
B, it could actually be a small blessing for when these guys are back because getting more offensive responsibility for somebody like Jalen Suggs, who you already don't have any question marks on the defensive side of the ball, now he can get in more of a rhythm and have more confidence in offense. And some of those question marks you may have had with the players outside of Paolo and Franz on the offensive side of the ball, they might actually benefit from this. They're still going to be, I think, a plus defensive team. And I still like some of the players they have. Like, I like Anthony Black a lot. Suggs is good. Batazde's been really good for them all year. Tristan Da Silva, I think they hit on him. So it's going to be tough, but I'm giving this team credit enough to where I think they can still kind of maintain maybe not a top, you know, 5 seed in the East when other teams, especially what we've seen from Milwaukee, get going. But I think they're good enough and they're coached well enough to where they won't, I don't think the bottom's going to completely fall out.
Yeah. 8 games above 500 right now, 3.5 game cushion over the 6th seed there to stay in a guaranteed playoff spot in the East. Jamal Mosley plus 800 right now for Coach of the Year, still third.
Also, how crazy is it that it's the same injury as Paolo too? Like, just,
I know. And not a common injury for a basketball player. I don't know what's going on. What's in the water down there in Orlando? But on the Bucks side, we saw the return of Chris Middleton last Friday. He's had 2 outings so far with this Bucks team, and like the shot hasn't been there. Adam, just 5 of 18 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3 in about 43 minutes and some change across those two games, a 6-point loss against Boston, 5-point win at Brooklyn two nights later. But Middleton, I mean, the peripherals were there, right? Against Boston, 11 points, 3 boards, 5 assists, 3 stocks in his 23 minutes. He was a plus 3 in that 6-point loss, then a plus 16 in his 20 minutes against Brooklyn, which was just a 5-point win. So, again, very, very small sample size, and clearly still trying to get his legs, or rather his ankles, under him here to get back to some sort of, you know, this is a guy who was multiple seasons, I believe, 50, 40, 90, but contributing across the box score. The plus minus numbers are encouraging over these first two games. This could be, again, like, we've talked a lot about the Bucks' recent surge, 8-2 in their last 10. They are now one game above 500 in that sixth seed in the East after what was a 2-8 start, if I recall correctly. Yep. Now getting Middleton back, if he stays healthy, like, I don't think you need 30-plus minutes a night out of him. But if you can get up to that level by the end of the season, you're just going to – we're going to be feeling better about this Bucks team if Middleton is able to be a plus for them, right? And that he's not completely over the hill and on the total backside of his career. I think maybe it's because I have so many best ball shares of Chris Middleton this year, but like, I was encouraged by this even with the lack of shooting efficiency.
Yeah, and you kind of expect, especially for like a lower body injury, mm-hmm. kind of expect the shooting to be a little bit slow out of the gate. So yeah, I think Milwaukee, especially with the Paolo and Franz absences, like, I think Milwaukee and New York are probably the two teams you would choose to kind of take that jump up to the third seed in the East over this next, these next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks or whatever. I think Miami, I've been encouraged by what I've seen from them with Bam. And look, their offense is pretty much playing like the two-man game with Hero and Bam, and Jimmy Butler's kind of just there. And we know Jimmy in the regular season tends to coast a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, Milwaukee, 8-2 over the last 10. Defensively, I still worry about how they can defend backcourts. But Middleton, even at this stage of his career, like, he won't hurt that. It can't be worse. So, and Giannis, like, if, you know, if Jokic wasn't doing what Jokic has done this year, and especially the last 3 days, we'd probably be talking about more about what Giannis has done. He's still having an MVP caliber season. It's just weird that Milwaukee, A, started 2-8, and B, is just one game over 500. But yeah, they are clearly on the rise. And I think if, honestly, like, if 2 weeks from now we get on the pod and they're the third seed in the East, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, don't disagree with you. Who do you got in this one? Bucks for both of us?
Yeah, like, I respect Orlando and Jamal Mosley so much. I just, between, even if Middleton wasn't back, just the way Milwaukee's been playing lately, and then it's just, it's going to be, it just feels like it's going to be too much to overcome having to, A, be, you know, already being a team, even with these guys, an offense that we needed to see more from, but going against Giannis and Dame, who look a little bit more comfortable with that pick and roll, I just don't think they're going to have enough firepower.
Yeah. And maybe over the next couple of weeks as well, maybe we kind of get the final judgment on a guy like Jet Howard. Cause if he's not able to grab a significant role with those two guys out, not looking great, still very young, but you certainly want more if you're a Magic fan out of last year's lottery pick. Nightcap on Tuesday over the Western Conference, Mavericks at Thunder favored by 4, 228.5 total here. Of course, still no Chet for the Thunder, but Alex Caruso made his return to the lineup last week, which certainly bolsters the defensive acumen of the team. Alex Caruso was also a very, very efficient shooter last season, if I recall correctly, in Chicago. But Luka has been back. Luka has been Luka-ing, right? Triple-double last time out in a short amount of time. Kyrie, etc. Still missing Najee Marshall, but the team as a whole there in Dallas getting much healthier than they have been over the last month or so. I'm much more excited about this game than the early one on Tuesday night. What are you seeing from Mavs and Thunder? Who do you think has the upper hand here?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is red hot, 7 straight. Luka's playing great. I do, this is going to sound stupid, but like, I'm still not that worried about the absence of Chet right now because Hartenstein's playing so well. Like seven starts, I believe it is now this season with the Thunder. He's averaging just under 12 points, 12 and a half rebounds, almost five assists per game. Like he's the type of player that has and can give a team like Dallas trouble with like they're obviously a good defensive team, but they can be had on the glass and stuff like that. So and then Shea, I think, has scored like 25 plus points and like certain streak of him scoring 25 plus. Caruso being back, like I'm gonna go with the Thunder here, mainly because I'm like Shea's obviously like you can make the case. No, you won't. It's not making the case. Like Dallas has the best player in this game, but
Sure.
is it the second and fourth best player in the NBA? Like it's obviously close. And then I'm just so like Kyrie's obviously. I'm just so high on Hartenstein and Jalen Williams and what they've done defensively for this team. And then getting Caruso back, the shooting they have to space everything out. I like the Thunder here.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go the other way. And of course, not surprised if the Thunder, especially at home, take care of business here. But kind of similar to what I was thinking when I picked the Mavericks to advance over the Thunder in the Western Conference semis last season, or last spring, rather. Kind of what you hinted at. I think the Mavericks have the best player on the court. Kyrie, not bad either. And of course, the surrounding supporting cast, also pretty talented. Able to pick it up on the defensive end ever since the trade deadline last year. So I will go with Dallas on the road here, but I don't know, man. I think this game, well, I guess I shouldn't get ahead of myself. You mentioned OKC, the recent stretch, especially with Hartenstein being back in the mix or being in the mix, debuting for this Thunder team. They've won seven of their last eight games. The one loss was against the Rockets, who are, of course, in the other knockout game here, quarterfinal in the West. I don't know, man. I really can't shake the feeling that the Western Conference representative in the NBA Cup title game next week is going to come out of this Dallas and OKC game.
Yeah, I would be pretty surprised if it wasn't.
So on Wednesday night, starting, of course, again in the East with the Hawks at the Knicks. So Trae Young coming back to the Garden. Knicks are 7.5 point favorites here, 236 implied total. It's the one question mark left me scratching my head this week with the schedule. Why are the Raptors and Knicks playing the only game tonight, especially when the Knicks are in one of these quarterfinal matchups on
RJ Barrett
Wednesday?
revenge game, that's why.
Right tonight, yeah, and RJ Barrett and Precious Achiuwa and OG Anunoby and everybody that was involved in that trade. No IQ for the Raptors on Monday night. But for this knockout round game, like I'm crossing my fingers, knocking on all the wood in sight that we don't get any injuries to this Knicks team tonight, because I think the Knicks to me are the clear favorites in the East right now, getting this matchup against the Hawks and then likely seeing the Bucks in the semifinal. Do the Hawks have any chance here for you? I mean, they have exceeded our expectations to this point.
I think they absolutely have a chance. I don't think, again, I kind of mentioned this last week, even if this was just the fifth game of the regular season, no NBA Cup situation, I still think this is a game where Trae Young is going to get up for more than if it was just, in Sacramento or something, just a random team. And yeah, like I think the concerns you could have are just the defense, obviously, for New York. Their offense has been unbelievable. Cat's been phenomenal. And Jalen Brunson's been incredibly efficient. But I still think an offense led by Trae Young and the way Jalen Johnson's playing, like they can keep up with them offensively in this game. So I think it could be a pretty high scoring game. I'm going to lean with New York just because they're playing really well right now. And Cat has just kind of changed the entire dynamic of this offense. And OG's been really good too. But I do think it's going to be, what would you say? It was 8.5?
7.5, I believe, here in the Garden. It's eight. Milwaukee by eight,
That's
Knicks
right.
by 7.5.
I don't mind Atlanta with the cover.
Yeah, you see, taking the points there. I am also with you on the Knicks advancing here, though, because Trae Young, like, he had a fantastic game against the Lakers, and Lakers pretty lackluster defense at this point, especially when Anthony Davis is off the floor, right? 31 points, 20 assists in that overtime win, and the game-winning three to his credit. But on the season, this is I think it's safe to say Trae Young's worst year of his career so far. It's just, of course, 24 games in, but shooting 38.5% from the field, that's 5% less than his career averages from the floor, 31% from three on 8.5 attempts. So he's one more attempt per game than his career average, but slightly less. That rate is slightly down from last season's 8.7, but that's 4.2% worse than his career three-point average. I mean, he's leading the league in assists. So it's not all doom and gloom with Trae Young, of course, but sub 21 points. He's 20.9 points per game on the season. This is a guy who, in his career, averages 25.2.
I think I will say, I think the efficiency point is obviously well warranted, but I do think the overall scoring, like I've talked about this, Jalen Johnson's more, he's like one more touch per game than Trae Young. He's top five. So I think a lot of it's also Jalen Johnson just taking a step forward, is doing a little bit more. But yeah, the efficiency still hasn't been great. We know Trae Young can take some questionable threes at times, but yeah, man, like this team, I think, like, again, I think New York wins, but I do think it's like a 120 to like 116 type of game.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and then, of course, we cap off the quarterfinals, Warriors at Rockets. Rockets favored by 2.5 here, down in H-Town, 221 implied total. I'll just come out and say it, man. I think this is the Rockets' time. I don't think this is, I mean, they are up and coming, but I think this is a good team. I think this is a top five team in the West, like throughout the rest of the season, barring major injuries. We know they've got trade pieces as well. So like, could they add somebody before or at the deadline? 16-8, a half game back of Memphis for the 2 seed, 2.5 games back of the Thunder here, more than a quarter of the way through the season. Favorite at home. Like, I think the only thing that would make me hesitate on picking the Rockets is the experience on the other side of the ball with Steph, with Draymond, with Andrew Wiggins, with Steve Kerr, right? The experience is on the side of the Warriors, but I think the Rockets are a better team. So I'm going with Houston here. What are you seeing here in the last of the four quarterfinal matches?
Yeah, the other thing with Houston too, like Şengün's obviously awesome. Jalen Green will have these spike like 30 to 40 point games. They have really young, talented defensive players as well. Dylan Brooks, if I'm not mistaken, like his stats in the cup games are actually pretty good. So when they play in these cup environment games, he's been pretty good for them. And like the only question mark you kind of have with Şengün right now is his defense, but like who on Golden State is really, like obviously if he's in a switch against Steph, like nobody's winning that matchup. Right. But like in terms of like somebody that can post up or take him out on the block, like they don't, Golden State doesn't have anybody like that. Right. So that's why I worry about it less in this spot for Şengün. And then on the opposite side, like, I think he could have his way. Draymond's one of the five greatest defensive players ever, but still a size mismatch. So I like Houston. They still have, you know, experience, not to the Warriors' extent, but it's still some veterans that obviously have that experience, the coach obviously as well. So I'll take Houston. I think they're the better team, like you said. I think defensively they have enough players that can make it difficult for Steph. So, yeah, give me the Rockets as well.
Yeah, to your point about Alperen Şengün, right, his efficiency in terms of like the stats he can put up in a short amount of time against this Warriors team. They've already played twice this season, 14-10-4 with a block in 21 minutes, 16-8-5 with two steals in 29 minutes. Yeah. And then last fall in the previous season, 30-13-5, two stocks in 37 minutes. So I do think I agree with you. Good point. Şengün should have his way. Both of us on the Rockets there. So we've got, what is it? You and I both have the Rockets going through. You have the Thunder. I have the Mavs. Both of us had the Knicks and the Bucks. Let's put some predictions on paper here. Who makes it out of the East? Who makes it out of the West? Let's start with the East. Who you got?
I'm gonna go Milwaukee.
Okay.
I think they've found something lately. Middleton's only gonna help, and when it's a close matchup, why not just take the tiebreaker and pick the team with the best player, and that's Giannis. So, yeah, I'll go Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was going to hope you were going to take the Knicks. I think the Knicks will probably be slight favorites in that potential matchup. But I'm going with the Bucks as well, man. I think this is Giannis, I think, is going to try to make kind of a stamp on this season. Of course, they're going to make a or attempt to make a title run in the spring, but being able to take home this NBA Cup, you know, maybe bolsters his slight chances at an MVP, right? Kind of gets him back into the legacy conversation, even though some people would scoff at the NBA Cup adding to a player's legacy. It keeps you in the conversation here in the early part of the season. And again, as this tournament continues, you're only going to build up more and more, I think, appreciation for this little short, you know, kind of playoff run through this knockout stage that you have to go through. How about the West? I mean, again, we both have Houston in there. I had Dallas. You had the Thunder. I don't know, man. I think it might be the Rockets' time. I think
Houston matches up kind of well with both teams. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. Especially like, and to your point, both teams. Yeah. Like, I think if Chet was there for OKC and you had the Hartenstein and Chet where you could stagger them, you could play them together. We obviously haven't seen how that looks yet, but that could potentially have swayed my thinking, not just on who comes out of the West, but even OKC beating Dallas on Wednesday or on Tuesday night, rather.
And like, even if there's situations where like the Thunder deploy that small ball lineup with Jalen Williams at the five, like Houston can counter that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I've been since he was drafted, but even more so now after the first season and change. I think Amen Thompson is a menace, and being able to put him out there with the likes of Dylan Brooks, right? We'll see if Tari Eason gets back. I believe he's still in a concussion protocol as of last game. Jabari Smith, no slouch on the defensive end either. I don't know, man. I think I'm gonna go with Houston.
So am I.
I think the smart money is on, for me, the smart money I think is on the winner of Dallas and OKC, but I don't know, my heart, and it hurts because I'm not a fan of the either two Texas teams, obviously, as a Spurs guy, but I don't know, man. I think we're gonna see Milwaukee and Houston in the final there in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the more I was torn, but the more I kind of thought about it, how they can still match up pretty well.
Yeah,
I think I'm with you. If Chet was active, I think it would be enough to push me. And again, we talked about it. The Thunder will have the best player, but I do think matchups matter. And I kind of like what Houston can do, whether they have Hartenstein out there for 34 minutes or they, you know, have those small ball lineups with J-Dub at the five.
As we were talking here, pulling up the odds on DK Sportsbook, Knicks the favorites at +300, Bucks +360, Thunder +370. So there are your three clear favorites in Vegas, but Houston fourth +550, Dubs 850, Mavericks 9-1, then Hawks 25-1, Magic 35-1. So there you go. Get your bets down there before the quarterfinals start if you are so inclined. And one thing we talked about this time last week, Adam, was the prize money that all of these guys are playing for, right? It's not just the smaller banner that teams may or may not hang up when they win the NBA Cup, but $500,000 to every player on the winning team. So, like, let's list off some players, maybe who we would want to see get this money the most, or which players would be the most entertaining, or maybe players we don't want to see get this $500,000. I know I have at least one. Start me off. Who's a player that you wanted to point out? Hey, this guy could make $500,000, maybe for not doing much.
I'm going to go with Jalen Williams, the center from the Thunder.
Jalen with a Y.
Yes. Yeah. He hasn't played this year. He's dealing with his hamstring. He's going to miss even more time.
Yeah.
There's like no timetable for his return right now. I liked what he did for them last year. He gave them a ton of spark off the bench. He was, you know, capable enough of a shooter to have you a little bit have to be spaced out and give lanes for SGA to drive. And like, he's not, you know, on a team that has all these guys, like his contract, obviously, he's not making a ton of money. He's always like, every time I watch the Thunder, he is the first guy off the bench to be cheering and everything when somebody makes a great play. So I would love to see him get the money.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think thinking about the Thunder too, a name that comes to mind is Nikola Topic, right? The rookie who was drafted in the lottery this past summer, out with the ACL injury all year, already making a cool $5 million. But what's another $500,000 on that? Like, coming over, not playing, you become an NBA Cup champion and get that extra little payday. Other guys from these teams, I do. If you look at it from an entertaining standpoint, Josh Hart has already said that there's this like $400,000 watch that he wants to buy if they win the tournament. So like, I don't know. I just think like, can you like in the locker room? Is
at what point do you even wear that watch if it's that expensive? Like,
I don't know, dude. That's more like if I had $400,000, I can guarantee you I ain't buying a watch.
No.
So just, you know, it's a different reality for Josh Hart there, but that is a little bit entertaining, at least to me here. Okay, so from one of my Texas rivals here on the Mavericks, this name stuck out to me. JaVale McGee on the payroll there for the Mavericks this season, but I hope Dallas doesn't win from my fandom perspective. I don't want to have to hear it from my Mavs fan friends, but also Markieff Morris is there, and you know how I feel about the Morris twins. I won't go into an expletive-filled tirade like I tend to do when those guys come up, but I hope they don't win because I do not want Markieff Morris to get that $500,000.
I didn't really consider him because, like, I'm pretty sure he's still making a good amount of money, even though he's not playing a huge role. But, like,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, he's probably one of your favorite players, right? Steven Adams?
Oh, yeah. Look, if the Rockets go and win it, we'll take Funaki getting a little extra cash there.
Not that he's you know, towards like some of the other players other than, you know, that's making the bottom of the barrel, but like, why not root for Steven Adams when you have a chance? He's awesome.
Yeah. Well, again, we mentioned games that we're eyeing this week. We talk about that on every episode. Not a ton of games, right? There's just one here on Monday. So if you're watching Hoops, you're watching Knicks at Raptors, and then we've got the NBA Cup quarterfinals on Tuesday and Wednesday, and of course, Adam and I will be back on Thursday, and we'll have a lot more, a bigger menu of games headed into our weekend at the end of the week. So let's close out episode 28, as we always do, with a little stock up, stock down. Let's start with our stock downs here, Adam. What do you got on episode 28?
I have two.
Okay.
I'm going to start with Phoenix.
Okay.
Specifically the Phoenix Suns when Kevin Durant can't play, because with 1-9 without him, they, like we mentioned, they just lost to Orlando without Paolo and Franz. It's just like they've been really bad without Kevin Durant, and he's had multiple absences now before Christmas, and it's not what you like to see, especially when it feels like Bradley Beal's on the injury report every other day. So I liked this team coming into the season. Obviously, I loved the Tyus Jones move. I loved what Ryan Dunn has brought for them. Mm-hmm. And Royce O'Neal is having a really good season, too. But they're obviously not doing anything without Kevin Durant. And they haven't done any, literally almost haven't done anything without him this season, just one win in 10 games. So that's not good for the Suns. Hopefully, Durant can get back and healthy, or they are in huge trouble. And then speaking of trouble, Minnesota, man, despite how awesome Ant is, like, if they had a time machine, they would probably wish they didn't trade Karl Anthony Towns. I know there's always the question about the fit with Rudy Gobert, but Towns has looked as good as maybe I've ever seen him this season, at least offensively. His facilitating has been ridiculous. He's still, you know, arguably one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. And then Dante DiVincenzo has been a complete no-show for them. I don't know if it's because he's not with the Villanova guys anymore, but he has been, like, I thought this was wrong when I first saw it. He's shooting 35% from the field, 32% from three on still 6.5 attempts per game. His minutes are coming down. He's barely starting games because he's been so bad for them. Like, he has been dreadful for them. And that was one of the main pieces, obviously. Like, and Randall, the fit has always been a question. Randall's going to take as many threes as a lot of these players, but he's going to have these games where he shoots like 8 of 23 from the field and 0 for 7 from three. Just Minnesota, we thought would be, what, a top three seed in the West? I still like their depth, but their depth looks bad now because DiVincenzo hasn't been good, and that was a key piece of their depth. So that's a concern for me. Two of those teams in the West, the Suns without Kevin Durant, and the Timberwolves, I guess, now without Karl Anthony Towns. It's not been good for them.
Yeah, I mean, Dante was like a 40% from three guy the last two, right, with the Warriors.
I mean, he was like catch and shoot-wise. Like, it was him and Steph. Like, he was up there with Steph Curry. Like, he was that good.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Still, again, a long way to go for him to kind of regress to the mean there, positively regress, right?
But yeah, and like they're 12 and 11, they're right there, but it's like the West is going to be tough. Like,
yeah,
And especially with Houston taking that step, they clearly look legit, whether you think they're a title contender or not. They are a clear top six seed candidate. And then Golden State's obviously still going to be in that mix. The Clippers look good. Denver's still going to be right around there with the way Jokic is playing. Like, if the Suns get Kevin Durant healthy, like, I'd probably take them over Minnesota at this point. Like, it's rough. And they're relying on the three ball too much. And if the player you probably thought would be your best three-point shooter coming into the season isn't doing that, then it's the reason why you're struggling this season.
My stock down is a little bit repetitive. I've just got the Lakers here. And so one positive for the Lakers, Anthony Davis, I saw the stat this morning. Anthony Davis has played 150 of his last 160 possible games. Wow. So, I mean, you would think maybe that the Lakers would have had a little bit more success over the last 2-3 years. If you knew that stat was going to come to pass, they are 3-7 in their last 10, just a game above the 11th seeded Spurs sitting smack in the middle of the play-in, right? And so, like, why I'm saying this is repetitive, I've talked about how I thought, 2.5 weeks ago now, that the Lakers' early season kind of excitement was a little bit of a mirage. And again, the Western Conference is still just a juggernaut. Just 5 games separate 2-seeded Memphis from 12th-seeded Sacramento. So we could talk. We talk every 3 or 4 days here on the Fast Break, and teams can, you know, jump from the 10 to the 4 in like a 2-game span. But the Lakers, again, I just want to highlight, since the 3-0 start, where they beat the Wolves on opening night, then they beat the Suns, and then they beat the Kings, all three of those games at home, they are currently 13-11. So here are their 10 wins since that 3-0 start. 2 against the Raptors, Sixers, Grizzlies, Spurs twice, Pelicans, Jazz twice, one of those by 1, and Blazers. Look, I think the Spurs, right, we talked about the Spurs, they're competitive at least, and the Grizzlies as well, even without Ja Morant and Desmond Bane in that game. We know that the Grizzlies have been a very good team even without those guys. But I don't think there are any, like really good, like, you're not beating contending teams.
I mean, let's be honest. Every game you mention, when you have LeBron and AD on the floor, you should be the favorite in all those games.
And LeBron just missed his first game of the season last night against the Blazers, and they take care of business. But, and again, Austin Reeves has been out for a number of games now with the pelvis issue. So they are not fully healthy either. But man, this is concerning. What percent chance do you think the Lakers have at actually winning a title, barring some crazy trade move that I don't think you or I really think they have the ammunition to get done? Like, I think I put it at less than 1%.
I was going to be generous and say like 2.5%. Yeah. That was being generous. So,
yeah. So,
and keep in mind, my favorite player in the history of basketball is LeBron James. So I don't love saying it, but
yeah. So stock down for the Lakers. Let's get it on a positive note here. Stock up, episode 28. What do you got?
This is an easy one. NBA fans, stock up, because we got to watch what Nikola Jokic has done in the month of December so far.
Yep.
I mean, Jokic is averaging, obviously, like the 56-point game against Washington, and then yesterday the 48-point game.
Yeah.
In the month of December, obviously it's only been five games, but it's been a ridiculous 5 games. He is averaging 39.4 points, just under 15 rebounds, almost 9 assists, shooting 44% from 3 on 5 threes per game, 55% from the field on over 20 field goal attempts per game. The best player in best player in basketball, continuing to be the best player in basketball.
Yep, absolutely. My stock up, closing it out. You thought we were going to get through a whole episode without talking about the Spurs. Nay, Adam, stock up. Chris Paul passes Jason Kidd's second most all-time on the career assist list. And it warms my heart that the record-breaking assist was to Victor Wembanyama. Also, while we're in Spurs corner here, Adam, go grab Stephon Castle. He's down to plus 700 for Rookie of the Year. If these trends continue with Jared McCain, with Dalton Connect, and Stephon Castle will win this award. So again, long way to go, but we see that value starting to trickle down, and I think it's time to pull the trigger. Stephon Castle plus 700 to win Rookie of the Year. Anything else for you before we shut it down?
No, when we did the awards last week, we both at the time said if the season ended today, it would be Jared McCain. But if we were choosing months from now, we think Stephon Castle is going to do enough to win it. So yeah, I like the call. And yeah, I mean, Chris Paul, one of the greatest point guards of all time. It's fitting that his assist to get him second all time went to Wemby. It's pretty cool.
Well, that'll do it for us, everybody. Adam and I will be back on Thursday, breaking down, recapping the NBA Cup quarterfinals and previewing the weekend ahead in the NBA. Enjoy the beginning of your week, everybody. We'll do the same, and we'll see you back here on Thursday. Till then, he's Adam, and I'm Zach. Goodbye.